style. And time now for Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning and welcome back to Uncensored, the show where we hold power to account and shine a light on the stories that matter to our communities. Let's talk numbers because they matter. 1.1 million rand, that is what it cost Kwadukuza ratepayers in just 3 months to protect 11 councillors who believe their lives are in danger. On top of that, 468,000 rand was spent on 24-hour security for the municipal manager. And it doesn't end there. Another 1.7 million rand went towards security for the mayor, deputy mayor, speaker and chief whip. That's over 3.2 million rand spent in 3 months on bodyguards footed by the ratepayers of Kwadukuza. And then there's the 173,000 monthly bill spent securing the personal home of the new mayor, Aline Gede. Against this backdrop is a municipality sitting in the current financial year with a 270 million rand budget deficit, the worst it's seen in 20 years. While communities go without streetlights, clean water or job opportunities, millions are being spent to shield the political elite from the very people they were elected to serve. In Stanger, residents endure daily water outages and crumbling infrastructure, conditions even more severe than those in better resourced areas. In Chayamoya and Kombongo, residents arrive at public meetings to find empty halls, no officials and no communication, despite legal obligations for public participation during the budget process. So this is where the leadership is. Where is the accountability? Today we're unpacking the growing tension between municipal spending and grassroots service delivery and what it reveals about the state of governance in Kwadukuza. To help us unpack these developments, I'm joined by two guests who've been at the forefront of civic engagement in Kwadukuza. My first guest today is Tami Chiliza, Chairman of the Kwadukuza Business Forum, KBF, a non-profit organization registered with the Department of Social Development in 2023. Operating from Nkombongo and expanding into Chayamoya, KBF's mission is to be a voice for the voiceless and to reduce poverty through grassroots cooperation. Their community programs include youth sports, local development initiatives, and a strong civic advocacy around service delivery and accountability. Tami is also a local businessman and serves on the executive committee of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, acting as a key liaison between the two organizations. The collaboration began when Tami and his team approached DOCRA following one of its AGMs, seeking to share ideas on effective civic engagement. Their partnership has since grown into a united front through the Kwadukuza Organized Ratepayers Alliance, focusing on local governance and community development. And joining him is Pilani Pitio, Secretary of KBF and a central figure in its community work across Kombongo and Chayamoya. Pilani also plays a significant role in Dolphin Coast Outreach, the social impact arm of DOCRA. In this capacity, he assesses community needs, identifies beneficiaries, and coordinates logistics for initiatives such as the KBF Soup Kitchen, which is supplied by the Dolphin Coast Outreach Program. Together, Tami and Pilani represent a growing civic force dedicated to making local government more accountable and ensuring better outcomes for their communities. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Benny. Good morning to you, Benny, and good morning to the listeners at home of Life and Style Radio.
Yeah, Tami, I'm going to start with you. This week, Stats SA confirmed that youth unemployment has surged to 46.1%, and the overall unemployment rate now sits at 32.9%. Now, that's not just a statistic. It's nearly one in every three South Africans struggling to find work. In communities throughout our region, these numbers are just not headlines. They are a daily reality. Now, what kind of basic services are residents in Kombongo and Chayamoya currently struggling with? Can you give us some real examples?
Thank you, Penny, for the opportunity given to me. Okay, first I would like to outline that in Kombongo, we are abandoned. The councillor who's supposed to assist the community,
yeah,
is not doing that.
Yeah.
It is the opposite of that. So there is a very high level of crime in Kobongo.
Yeah.
Because now the community is left behind. Yeah. So we decided that let us launch a cooperation of between a government and a governance.
Yeah.
So it is bad. We don't have meetings there.
Yeah.
So we can't raise our voices. So whenever we're trying to reach out to the community, we are getting blocked.
Yeah. And tell me with service delivery as well, what is, I know, you know, in our wards, which are the well-maintained wards, I mean, a lot of our ratepayers moan about it, but Belita is well-run. When you go into, you know, townships like in Kobongo, Tete, you're seeing the real, real lack of service delivery on the ground. Are you guys facing issues like Stanga with no running water? What are you, what are your challenges in terms of service delivery?
Thank you, Penny. In our ward, ward 8.
Can Kobongo. I just qualify? Ward 8 is ward the eight. Same ward. Your ward councillor, that's Alingidi, the current mayor.
The mayor. The current mayor.
So he's the ward councillor of ward 8, yeah?
Yes. So as my partner here has just enlightened that there's nothing that is happening in our ward. We are being ignored. There's nothing except being sidelined and being ignored by the municipality. In all whatever we want to get from the municipality, they just not hearing us. And we don't know what is happening to them because...
Now, sorry to jump in. You know, the public participation process that's been taking place with the budget, that is something that is currently taking place across a lot of the communities, the mayoral RDP budget and BISOs. Those didn't take place. They were cancelled as well with no official public notice being given. Apparently, you know, people pitched up. No one was at the hall except for one worker. And yet at the same time, the mayor was pictured on social media attending another function. It was a KZN Sports Confederation planning worship when he should have been in his ward listening to the community and hearing what they have to say. What was the outcome of that? What happened?
Penny, people are very angry in our ward. They are very angry because they are being ignored. Whatever they want to raise in those IDPs, they were sidelined.
Yeah.
So they are very angry at the councillor, who is the mayor, who's supposed to be bringing service to them, but he's not bringing service to them. He's just ignoring them. So as a ward councillor and also as a mayor, it's very bad in our ward.
Now, this mayor has... it was in recent media that he has 10 round-the-clock guards on his property's private residence, you know, supplying security. Is that because the community have issues with the fact that he hasn't delivered or the service delivery? Is that the real underlying reason why he has to have 10 guards guarding his property around the clock, including the bodyguards that he travels on during the day? And obviously the drivers. Tell us a little bit about that. When you see that spending that is going to him and not back to the community, how does that sit with the people of his ward?
It's quite bad. Because now, you see, Penny, we've got a lot of youth in our wards.
Yeah.
Lot of youth that need to be skilled, that need to be taken care of. But when our organization, KBF, is trying to look after the people, we get arrested. So it's like we are competing with the councillor who's supposed to be working with our organization, because our organization is working with the people in our ward. But now he seems to be prioritizing his protection than prioritizing the people that he is supposed to be serving. So it's that kind of a nature that we are faced up with in Kobongo. And also, we can't really understand why so many bodyguards, why so much money that is being paid for bodyguards.
To keep him in a public... I mean, he has got he's got a position which is for the people. I mean, if that position... is, you know, for community, for you know, for service delivery, and people are upset about him not doing his work, and he has to hire so many guards to keep him safe. What's actually telling us about, you know, how in touch, you know, the leadership is with the communities.
Can I just ask something? I'm sorry to come in and bogart your show. No. But, gentlemen, who elected this ward councillor?
It's the community.
So now, so the community elected him, and he twice, I believe, not just once.
Yes, it is. It's twice. Second time. Why? The process is for 2021.
Which was a 2020. Can I also say, you know, when we were...
But isn't there a process to unelect someone that isn't performing?
Yes, there is. But you know, the system...
So why don't you embark on that process?
Did you go to COCTA? I know, you know, we've got currently COCTA looking at governance. I mean, those are the people that you go to. Have you approached COCTA with your issues in your community? No ward meetings, lack of public participation, no service delivery. What is the outcome of that?
Yes, thank you, Penny. Okay, we wrote to the speaker
of
the council, Dolly Govinda.
Yeah.
So we asked Dolly that, you know, we don't have ward committee, we don't have public meetings. The ward committee members are working for EPWP, so they are getting twice, they are getting paid twice.
What is EPWP? Excuse my ignorance.
It is the project from the municipality to
so
the
effectively
community.
Effectively, they're working for Kwadukuza.
Yes, they were working for the Kwadukuza. So now we wrote to the speaker, and then the speaker said, you know, the mayor doesn't allow me to come to your ward. He's refusing me to come to your ward to address your issues. So we then took an initiative that, you know, now we're going to send a petition. We're going to hand over the petition for the removal of the ward committee and the ward councillor. So there was no response on that initiative. Then we wrote to the COCTA, and the COCTA responded on the 22nd of November last year. And I quote, in accordance with Section 37K of the Municipal Structures Act 117 of 1998, prescribes that the speaker of municipal councillor must ensure the effectiveness and functionality of ward committees and public participation processes. It further states that the department has considered your complaint given the seriousness of allegation and based on the legal provision as outlined here above. So the matter is before the office of the MEC and it is still, they are still investigating it.
So that's more than 4 months ago.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have to follow up on that because have they communicated with you before since then or after that that first letter? Have you received any other follow-ups on it?
We didn't receive any follow-up. Okay. So then we sent another petition on the 21st of February this year. So I think
and who was the petition sent to? COCTA?
No, the petition that was sent this year, February 21, it was a petition by the people of Ngobongo and Shayamoya, being said that you know about that place called Rocky Ridge. There's a place that was bought for people in extension.
The housing project,
in extension of the township. So. Yes. Whenever people when they want to talk to the councillors run away. They don't want to meet with the people. Even the ward committees on both wards, they are not functional. Yeah. So, what happened is that on last year in November, people went to the street, demanding the mayor to come to them and talk to them. What happened? The mayor sent police to arrest them.
People were arrested during a public protest on service delivery.
Yes. So after that, they said, no, this mayor is not the mayor. It's something else. So we embark on a project that is a petition, 1,000 of signature, people saying that the mayor must step down. They had enough of the mayor. He must step down and give somebody else who will listen to them, who will have that communication with them. So up until then, the speaker doesn't want to sign the petition. He is telling us that the mayor is refusing for her to receive the petition and also to sign the petition. So we are in that kind of a suppression and also in that kind of a apartheid in our ward, because now the people in Kobongo and Chamwa, they are kept apart. There's no public meetings, only the few has the information when there's information coming from the municipality. So we've seen it here in Palito. The mayor was supposed to be in the IDP.
Yeah.
It didn't feature.
Well, he didn't want to face the people and the wrath of the people when it was exposed that his car hire bill and his bodyguarding bill was costing the ratepayers.
But Penny, to you guys, it's better because there's someone who came and present something for you guys. Yeah. To us, there's no communication.
Yeah.
There's nothing. You went to the hall in terms of you're going to the meeting. You find there's nothing in the hall, only a cleaner in the hall. And the cleaner doesn't know anything that is happening. So we are in that kind of...
Is this not the ward that was given 22 million rand?
Yes, I did ask that, you know, for flood relief.
For damages that were not there.
Yeah. And have you seen any of that
pushed into your ward? Nothing.
You know, this is also, you know, there's a pattern here. I know with the by-elections, you know, the Ward 28 had a recent by-election which was strongly contested with the MK. Mm. Now, when this was unfolding, the mayor actually went personally to Sharker's Kraal Old Age Center on the day of the voting and sponsored them with a massive freezer, 15,000 rand in groceries and 5,000 rand meat vouchers. This was the first time in 30 years they had done this as at this old age center in 30 years. And, you know...
It didn't seem to help, though.
Well, according to Dushi, he said that the old age center is made up of 90% Indian recipients. And that was his pull. And also, there was a massive complaint lodged with the IC of electoral fraud, because they found 298 voters... actually that were flagged from one of his wards. You know, 59 voters were from Ward 8, that's your ward, being the mayor's, and they were moved to register in Ward 28. And obviously this was picked up. The cops were there, 290 voters weren't able
to
pitch up.
Is this not criminal activity?
There's intimidation, there's a lot of bullying action.
So in your opinion, Penny, as an investigative journalist, what you're listening to here constitutes, or certainly what I'm hearing, constitutes questionable, if not criminal, then certainly questionable behavior. Should one not be lodging complaints with the South African Police Service for investigation?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. You know, I did reach out to Kwadukuza Municipality for comment as well. I haven't received any. And what was also concerning is that all the ward councillors affiliated to the ANC, who seem to be using the system to benefit themselves, they all have protection. Mm. You know, this just floors me. You know, there were councillors. There's a councillor here, also from Ward 4, the Shaya Moya, two bodyguards, you know, and then when you have bodyguarding for 3 months, you have to go via the South African Police Station, has to carry out a threat and risk analysis to continue getting your bodyguarding service. None of these have been done with any of these councillors. They actually are getting bodyguarded services funded by the ratepayers, and there is no current threat and risk analysis done, you know, via the South African Police Station. Mm. So that is going to be something that we're going to bring up as well. Mm. And also, why are they being protected by the community they're supposed to be serving? Mm. What is that telling us?
They're not being protected by the community. They're being protected from the community.
Yes, from the community. Yes.
Which is quite an interesting situation. I think it's not without precedent. There was a similar situation, I would imagine, with Councillor Banda, who couldn't even enter
still,
his ward because of
similar behavior.
He was re-elected,
actually, and he doesn't even live in that ward. Yeah. And currently, you know, we've got a pattern of investigations which are being launched. You know, Kwadukuza at the moment, task teams have been appointed. We've got an SIU, the SIU's investigating tender fraud. We've got COFTA investigating governors. We've got NERSA investigating electrical.
Is this, do you think, filtering down to the electorate? Because there is an election coming up next year, a municipal election. And presumably all of this information is in general well, it's certainly well, none of which we're talking about is hidden from public view.
Yeah.
I would imagine this is going to translate to a change of guard, but what are they going to be changing for? That's the next question.
Yeah.
Because who will contest the election in 2026? It will be the ANC, current incumbents. It will be MK for sure. Maybe an independent or two.
Yeah.
But ultimately, how does one prevent the situation that currently is from reoccurring? Because clearly, you've elected the councillor twice that we're talking about. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, there's that thing. Are we looking at the community and saying, how did it come to this, guys? I mean, it's just an interesting observation.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I'm putting it to you, Pilani and Tammy. We see this, when we see the breakdown, you see political interference, you saw cadre and deployment, you're seeing friends, you know, positions being taken up within political parties that are benefiting families and friends. How can you sit back and allow the same people who have put you in this situation to continue governing?
You know, Benny, we are being denied for our rights. So according to Section 5, the local community have the right to contribute and complaints. Now, the thing is, we don't get public meetings because we can always rectify what we have done in terms of the ward committees.
So you're not given the opportunity.
We are not given an opportunity to have public meetings. Because once we have a public meetings, we are going to remove that ward committee through the raise of hands. So we can always change.
Yeah.
So it's very easy because you see for the ward committee, you just raise hands. So because we are living under...
Is that how easy it is to remove your council?
Because we are living under democracy, the majority rules.
Yeah.
So that is why we are being denied the IDP, because the IDP is a public meeting, so that we are going to take the decisions that will go against the councillor, because now we want to change the ward committee. Because you see, the ward committee members in Kobongo are boiling people with hot water. They are burning people with hot waters. You know, they are getting twice. They're getting paid twice in the same municipality. Mm-hmm. And that is before the office of the speaker, and nothing is happening.
And also the intimidation. I mean, if I was someone who's unemployed, doesn't have a lot of resources and means to my name, and then you're getting a contingency of bodyguards coming there, using resources that are not meant to be used for any purposes other than, you know, his protection, and intimidating people and arresting them. I mean, why is this not being put out in the public media, in the public platform? This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
You know, Penny, on our last AGM, Dokra AGM, Dion talked about the other side, which is Ngobongo, because we're working together with Dion in Kobongo in servicing people.
Yeah, you're talking about the soup kitchen project.
He talked about whenever the leaders in Kobongo, when they are elected, like our leader, the councillor, he was elected by the people. But now he presumed the whole world as his kingdom.
Yeah.
So everything has to go through him. Everything has to go through him. We've got something like soup initiative that are being blocked by him.
Yeah.
We've got something like libraries that need to be sponsored, getting young children to have education in the township. He's blocking that. We've got sport development that we need to nurture these young kids to be in sport and also be away from these social ills, which are drugs, which are mostly high in our areas.
Yeah.
He's blocking that. All of things that are supposed to be going to the community, that are supposed to be giving to the community, is coming to him. So that's why we're here today, to ask him nicely, whenever he's listening, to ask him nicely. Because now he's a leader. He understands what we are saying. He must do the right thing. Do us a favor. Resign. Be on the side. Give somebody else a chance so that he can push this work on further.
Yeah, I would suggest that you're not dealing with someone that's going to likely step down easily because he's going to be doing the right thing. It would appear that he's got a very, very strong vested interest in the maintaining the state of the status quo. Yeah. And it would obviously appear incumbent upon the community now to rise up in the ways that are legally enabling, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And there must be measures, I would imagine, in functioning democracy, hopefully. Or is that euphemistic?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. But there must be legal methods of examining the situation, bringing evidence to bear, and if the findings are that there has been malfeasance and needs to be replaced, that must happen. What the process is, though, in terms of exactly how one does this, I am not a qualified to even talk about, but Penny, possibly you know.
Yeah, I know that COGTA, you know, there is a system. So COGTA is in charge of the governance. So, you know, you have followed the right process. You've approached COGTA, you've written a complaint. The speaker should have come through and done, an analysis as well. And done a report back. She has failed to do that. Mm. So the next step is to continue. And I think also you are part of the bigger, broader Ratepayers Association, the CORA,
yes.
The CORA group, which features the Blythedales and Kwazi, a whole number of, you know, associations which represent more than 40,000 households. It's a massive power.
Yes.
So I think through, you know, the Ratepayers Association, the civic societies that are, you know, putting this out into the light and demanding accountability. These are the forums that we need to be engaging in. And obviously he is not going to resign. He's got over R1 million getting paid by the ratepayers. He's got beautiful fleet of cars to his disposal. His family gets driven by a very elite car, you know, that he was apparently not using to their functions. They've got the VIP, it's a big lifestyle. It's you know, there's something very, very attractive and almost addictive by that. And it seems like he has completely lost touch with the people on the ground.
Yes, Benny, you see, we have a this thing called South African Local Government Association, and there is a code of conduct for them to comply with. So if you are breaching the code of conduct, you must be removed.
Yeah.
So what it says, the councillor is accountable on the community that has elected him or her.
Yeah.
That's the story. Yeah. All we need is a public meeting, because since 2021, we didn't have even a single public meeting.
Yeah.
All we're asking for, we are on the month 5 now. We didn't have a public meeting.
Well, you are on a very public platform right now. So presumably this situation is no longer going to be swept under the carpet.
Yes.
It's now out in the public forum.
Yeah.
It cannot be ignored. This it goes well beyond the range of our FM broadcast. In fact, it's a worldwide through the internet. And I would imagine it won't be long before the powers that be have a listen to the podcast. And it'll be very interesting to do a follow-up as to what remedies are going to be followed. Because now it's obvious that there needs to be a remedial action, and remedial action must be taken very rapidly to prevent what would automatically follow if you have a community that has been ignored and abused to the point that this one has. Mm. What comes next is unrest, for sure.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Yes.
And you know what it is? The ANC is doing the MK such a big favor as well. But what we're seeing is people who are so discontent, the public on the ground, the lack of service delivery, this thing playing out, you know, people are going to, you know, change direction.
Yes.
And the ANC now, you know, cannot carry on operating as it did. We had these 4-seat parties, you know, the 20% and the 5-10%. There is a big chance that the opposition to the ANC, the MK, is going to come in and is going to take, you know, these unhappy voters and put them on their roll. So there's a big chance of a shift going in council. But what I'm saying is they're possibly talking about local elections next year, November, even in the new January in 2027. Mm. We have 1 year. We can't afford to wait for a year and a half to try and fix this, because then our whole municipality is going to go. I mean, we're already spiraling.
Yes.
So I know the MK sent out a press release demanding that the mayor step down. They also have lodged a case against them. What I'm not hearing is a lot of noise from the opposition parties. You know, we have highlighted, you know, people speaking up. But what happens in council, and I've been told by some of the councillors, is that the brown envelopes get passed around a lot. So we have the opposition parties who should be the voice of the people, yes, speaking up for the people, that are very silent. Mm. You know, they're nowhere to be seen when it comes to voting and making a difference to the you know, the management of the
but
council.
But one must be aware of hearsay and facts.
Yes,
and we don't have the facts, so we can't really make those allegations or insinuations. However, what is clear is that all is not well, and that there is a process to follow, and I would imagine it begins here, it begins now. And the matter has been highlighted on a very public platform. It's impossible now for it to be ignored.
Yeah, and you know, the question remains, what's next? You know, the role of civil society has never been more crucial than it is right now, and it's on all of us to ensure that these issues remain at the forefront. And we engage with the communities to highlight the problems that are taking place right now. So we're going to continue to highlight these issues. We're going to bring you the voices and the answers that shape our future. So stay tuned as we do a follow-up on the story in the coming episode of Uncensored next week.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.